like three, and then it's just a repeated cycle. I cannot get out of it.
Yeah, it's just a matter of forcing yourself into those good habits.
Yeah, I know. I need to start getting more. It's annoying at this point.
I get that. Well, it's always customary for me to ask people if they want to light some incense. So you want some incense going?
Yeah, right. I do actually.
You want to do a cone too? No one's wanted to do a cone yet.
No, I love the cones.
You love
I think
the cone?
They look so cool.
Yes. I have this whole dish here and no one's
That's
wanted to
I
use it
That's what I thought it was, but I wasn't sure. But yeah like, I love the cones.
Even this thing is like, it has like a, does it have an incense thing? No, it doesn't. I'm lying. Sorry, my bad. Like this whole
it
Buddha guy.
Like it. Yeah, I thought it was.
But this one has like a cone and a stick holder, and that one's a stick holder. I got this in Asheville, North Carolina.
Asheville. I feel like I've been to Asheville. No, I haven't.
Oh. Gosh. Yeah. All right. Which one of these? Just go through these. Pick one.
What's your favorite one?
I've actually really liked the patchouli. That's like the newest one I've gotten, but it's really subtle. And
I like the subtle ones.
Yeah. It's, you don't want it.
But yeah. That's interesting.
Me and, I think I used to pick that one out when we did the podcast together.
I think
together.
I'm going to do Rain.
Yeah, Rain's a good one. That one's also not very overbearing.
Interesting.
All right, so blue or pink?
Let's go pink. For the female representation
yes.
on here.
First woman on the podcast,
yes.
by the way.
Making history.
Woo!
I was about to say, I was like, there are too many males in this thing.
That's right. We've had 5 males on the podcast.
Get this thing out. Okay, I'm gonna let you do this.
Okay, gotcha.
Okay,
you wanna, you know how to do all this, right?
I can try. Okay. I've never done a cone. I'm assuming you just light it.
Yeah, just light the top, and then stick it on like this little top piece here.
I can never tell when they're like.
Just wait
lit
till
or
it gets.
Not.
Yeah, just wait till it gets a flame going, and then just blow it out. Yep, that's good. And then you can just place it right on top of there. Right, and that should get going in a moment. That's
great. Oh, I can light this one too.
Yeah, if you want. Go ahead.
Oh my god, I love that smell. Where do you go to get your incense?
I got everything but the patchouli at Meijer.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's just like that cheap incense that you can find everywhere.
Yeah, I should go there. I don't know if you've been to like Luna d'Atturas or something. It's
I've
downtown.
Never been there.
Yeah, it's a super small shop. It's just like a bunch of crystals and like incense. I don't know. Their incense is like $4. Is that like
that's,
expensive?
That's or? Not terrible.
I don't think so either, but I think, not, oh wait, I don't even know if this is lit.
Yeah, you might want to do that again. Just give it a moment to get going. I think the patchouli might have been $3 and then everything else might have been like $2 maybe.
Oh, that's pretty good.
So $4, like that's not bad.
Yeah.
That's not bad at all.
That's what I thought, but I'm not like an incense connoisseur, so I
couldn't. Oh, gotcha. Yeah, me neither. I don't know why I had like an incense phase. Probably because of Mike Tackett. He got
really?
he got into incense for a bit too, so I kind of hopped on it also.
Oh,
and like
that's funny. I think I just went through like that TikTok crystal phase.
Oh,
actually, I wouldn't
gotcha.
Say went through. I'm probably still in it. But I was like, no, honestly, like I'm wearing like 2 right now. But yeah,
they look
like,
very nice, by the way.
Thank you. These 2 are my favorite ones.
But it's all bullshit. I gotta tell you that right now.
You know, like I'm like stuck in between because I think it's super interesting. Like reading about it, I think it's pretty cool. And like I would like to believe it's true. But the like gifted education part of me that like makes me want to use logic is like there's no evidence and like but like it's something it's nice to believe in.
I'm gonna light this again because I don't think
I don't think that went but yeah like because I'm not like super religious at all
yeah
I'm not really religious at all but I was like it's a kind of nice thing to just like I don't know look back on or
I think it works in the sense that it's like a placebo.
I think yeah I was thinking like, that too.
Like, you just, like, if you get into the sort of, like, these crystals are going to give me healing and that's going to make me feel better about my life, then, like, you get into this mindset that it's actually going to do that. Therefore, it's, like, because you're projecting that, it's actually going to happen.
Which I don't know if that's, like, the whole point of them because I don't know if that's the whole point of, like, manifestations or something. But that's, at least for me, I think that's what it did because that, like, when I was first getting into the phase, I was like, it was like a weird point in my life. I don't even know why I'm acting like it's a year ago. It was like 5 months ago or something. and I was like, yeah, I want this, this, and this. And I think I think I just like placebo'd myself into getting it. Yeah. Like, I don't think it was actually the crystals. I think I just like got off. Wait, can I cuss on here?
Is yeah, this, whatever. Okay,
I just like got off my ass and like actually started doing stuff. Uh-huh. So like, I feel like I'm very indecisive about it because as much as I want it to be true, again, like the logic part of me is like, I don't know if it is.
Yeah. Well, but the thing is that if it is like doing good in your life, then like who's to say you're completely that it's wrong? Maybe it is wrong in the literal sense, but if it's helping you and it's not harming anyone else, then what's the real issue?
That's how I kind of think of like everything.
Uh-huh.
Like if people want to believe in crystals and whatever, like that's super cool. Like go for them. But like also if people don't want to believe in it, super cool. Like good job for you. But I get like kind of upset when people like talk down on either of them because I'm like, you can have your opinions on them, but like don't make someone feel bad about it, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like I've definitely done that before, but I would like to think that's my mindset now. Uh-huh. So I don't want to sound like a hypocrite, like if someone watches this and then calls me out about it. But yeah, I think like just with like everything, I just think like you can have your own opinions on things, but don't make people feel like shit for liking something or like doing something. I don't know, that's just me.
I'm totally in agreement. Like we all live such different lives. I mean, it's like it's a miracle that anyone agrees on like anything, because like you and me are like our living situations are probably completely different. We grew up in completely different families who raised us with different values. Like the fact that, you know, we are sitting here and talking in the first place, like it is a miracle, really.
Yeah. I think I used to care so much about like what other people thought, but then it just got to a point. I was like, why does it matter so much? Mm-hmm. Like I'm living my own life. They're living their own life. I don't think it should matter. But yeah, I just think people should be entitled to like do whatever they want. Like it's not, like I've realized that, like it's not, like your life is your own life. Why are so people like so concerned with other people?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just like, obviously unless something's like blatantly wrong, like racism, I'm gonna be like, that's, no, let's not do that. Like you can't have your own opinion about that one. But anything else, go for it. But yeah, I just thought that was like, I don't know. I've been thinking about that a lot recently.
I was talking when Mike was on the podcast. We were talking about sort of like what the purpose of life is. And my stance was just, you know, to live your life as happy as you can be without imposing on the happiness of others.
Yeah, that's good. Uh-huh. That's a good way to put it. Because I've been thinking about a way to put it without going on like a long rant like I just did. But that's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
What was I gonna say? But yeah, I don't really think about like super thought provoking questions like what's life's purpose. It's because I don't know, I'm not that philosophical.
You wanna get deep into these philosophical questions right now?
We can try, but I'm not that.
Here, tell me this. What's your biggest fear?
Oh, actually, that's not, definitely failure.
Failure? literally, me too.
Yeah, nice.
Like, literally with, like, everything I'm doing, it's such a commitment that, like, I have no backup plan, really.
Yes.
Most people, all my friends are going off to college, and, like, I'm staying here trying to, like, grow a podcast and a YouTube channel, and, like, it's hard. Hard to like, because this really is just kind of a blind faith thing, like thinking that, you know, like this is sort of my life's dream that I'm putting everything into. But like there's always that nagging idea in the back of my head, like, is this going to happen?
Yeah, I think for me, just like growing up in such a, just because since I've like played tennis so long, I've lived in through so much pressure, literally since I was 4. Like, I've had so much pressure on me. Like, what if I don't go to a good college? What if I don't get, like, a full ride? Like, what if I don't, you know, go where I want to?
Yeah.
And again, with, like, being in such, like, also, I feel like being in the gifted program too, obviously mm-hmm. you got to get out of that.
Yeah, but like, I was very lucky.
Yeah, like being in that for so long also just like put so much pressure on people mm-hmm. at like such a young age. And I think that's definitely like where it comes from. Just like mm-hmm. how I was brought up. Everything's just like, what if I don't make it? And uh-huh. that's also why like I didn't start taking like risks and like doing what I actually wanted to do until mm-hmm. probably like really probably until like this year.
Really?
Yeah, just because like, okay, like my dyed hair. I'd been wanting to dye my hair for like a year and a half and I didn't do it until last October just because mm-hmm. I was like, I don't know if I really want to do that. But yeah, I don't know. And I also like, I want to go into fashion. Mm-hmm. But again, I'm scared of failing. Mm-hmm. Like, do you need to cough?
Oh, no, sorry. Okay. Like, don't stop talking. If I have to like turn away from the microphone, I'm just not trying to make a loud noise into the microphone. But
yeah, like I want to go into fashion, but then there's like uh-huh. the other part of me where it's like, what if I, just because like fashion is such a, I don't know what you would call it, like a closed industry, not really like a closed industry, but it's just a very hard industry to break into.
Yeah.
And like that's what I want to do, but then like the other half of me is like, okay, but if you don't make it in there, then it's not gonna work out. Like I don't uh-huh. want to be broke.
Yeah.
I don't want to like live in debt my whole life. So like I'm going into like business for marketing, which is like okay. Uh-huh. And like maybe I'll go into fashion marketing or something, but mm-hmm. yeah, it's just like the constant fear of like, oh my god, what if I don't make it?
Yeah,
it's just yeah, always been there.
I think. Yeah, that innate fear, I think that's in, like, anyone who's trying to pursue, like, a passion of theirs because, like, you know, like, if they're pursuing this dream of theirs and if it doesn't work out, then it's kind of like, what was the point of my entire life? But
yeah.
I think it's good to, you know, take that fear and instead of, like, letting that bring you down and, like, just bring you down. You can take that and like use it as a driving force to propel you to take this path in life, to drive you to put all your effort and energy into pursuing this and achieving your goal.
Yeah. But that's like my other fear. Like, what if I put so much into something and like still don't make it? Because like, honestly, that's like what almost happened to me mm-hmm. in college or like for tennis. Like mm-hmm. I'd been playing the sport for like 14 years. Mm-hmm. And then like because of COVID, because of like I just like last year I did not play well. Like I put so much time and energy into this thing and then I didn't even know if I was going to get what I wanted. So like, yeah, my other fear is just like putting so much into something and then still not getting the outcome that you want.
Yeah,
because I feel like at that point you're like, what more can I do? Like, I've done everything I can, and I'm still not doing it.
Yeah. Well, the thing is that you did sort of make it with tennis. You did eventually.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you did commit to Arizona State, right?
University of Arizona.
University of Arizona.
Every person I've talked to gets that wrong, so
my bad. Well, congratulations.
Thanks. Yeah.
Yeah, that was actually something I wanted to talk about, because I know, all right. First of all, I haven't counted us in. Can I do that? I usually count everyone in. I just got so engrossed in like what we've been talking about. Okay. In 3, 2, 1, Belen Nievenhoven.
Yes.
Yes.
That's me.
You're on. Okay. That was it.
Nice.
Yeah, there's
we're like 15 minutes into the podcast.
There's literally no point to it.
To what? Counting you in?
Counting in. Like, we're not live. We're not anything. I literally just think it sounds cool.
It does sound pretty cool. It gives like a... It was like, I don't know what you would call it. It kind of sounded like iCarly. Like, that's what it reminded me of. Like, that's exactly what it took me to.
They have, like, the new season of iCarly.
I saw that.
Really?
Yeah. Well, no, I haven't watched it, but I saw, like, a clip from it on Instagram or something. And, like, I don't know if I'm going to watch it, but it looked, like, decently funny. Yeah. Like, it might be one of those things I watch when, like, I'm done with everything.
Yeah.
But yeah, it looks pretty okay.
Yeah, I think I want to see at least one episode just to see what it's like. But yeah, it's another thing where it's like, you know, the original show was so good.
Yeah.
Did you really have to bring it back?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Because I was like, I think they did the same thing with like That's So Raven or something. And it's just like the kids like today are not going to have the same like memories attached to it.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know. I feel like we were probably the young... I don't really know when it came out, but we were probably one of the last, our years to see it.
Yeah.
And, like, again, like I said, I'm probably not going to watch it, and I don't know how many people are going to watch it. But yeah, I feel like it's one of those things where like people wanted it so badly like to come back, but then they're probably not going to watch it. So I feel bad for like the acting and stuff, but
yeah,
not my problem.
Yeah. So we went off on a bit of an iCarly tangent. What were we talking about before?
You're going to ask
Arizona
me about,
State. Oh, yeah. Okay.
University of Arizona.
I messed it up again. I'm so sorry.
No, you're fine.
Okay. What was I going to ask? Oh, yeah. So, like, all right. So, first of all, like, you are probably the most accomplished athlete I know as far as like high school. You were second in state for girls tennis, and I have heard your name spoken from the mouth of Venus Williams. That's such that's such a mind fuck because she's like the top tier, and like maybe it's not that big of a deal because it was just a small thing, but like genuinely, I am proud to call you my friend.
Thank
and I'm
you.
Very proud
that's
of you.
That's so nice. Thanks.
So where was I gonna go with this? Oh yeah, so you're like this. You're like this top tier athlete in high school, but I remember it being such a struggle for you to find a university or any college to commit to.
Yeah, I think like, so obviously like people, like my tennis life and like my high school life are very separate, or not very separated, but like people in high school like think I'm like super good. Like people always ask me if I'm gonna go pro. I'm like, no way, like no chance. So it's just like, it's kind of funny that like some people in high school think, or like everyone outside of tennis thinks I'm like amazing, but like in actuality, like I am good. Like obviously I'm going to go play D1. Like I'm pretty good, but like, you know, I know people that are like actually going pro. So like my perspective is very different from other people's perspectives. But yeah, so overall, I'm good, but not as good as people think I am. Like, I won't go pro, probably. Yeah. Or not probably. I probably won't go pro. But yeah, it was really hard just because, like, junior year, I was on track to, like, get a full ride. Like, I should have gotten a full ride. Like, I don't know if I sound cocky right now.
No, it's like,
I don't know how else to explain it. But yeah, like, beginning of junior year, I was on track to have a full ride. And I think like up until like COVID or something. Well, I don't know. Again, like I think pressure definitely like started to get to me. Like I was not performing as well. And also like junior year was just not good for me. Like I went through some like mental health stuff and like just with school, it was super hard.
Yeah.
And I was just really busy. Like I got into a relationship, and I'm not saying that was like a burden, but you know, like my priorities switched. I was like, I don't want to play tennis. I want to hang out with them. So yeah, I stopped focusing on tennis as much. So obviously like my game went down. I didn't really want to practice as much. So that already started to like take me off my track. And then with COVID, it just like completely screwed me over. Because like coaches couldn't come out and see you play, obviously, because there was no tournaments. And like I'm pretty sure it's in like the NCAA rules, like they can't see you practice. I don't really know how that works. There's too many rules in that thing. But yeah, so I couldn't play any tournaments. And if you did want to play tournaments, you would have had to like go across the country to like the South where they'd had no rules and stuff.
Really?
And like obviously, like I'm middle class. We don't have that type of money
to
like do that.
I get that.
And then also there was another rule where since like spring sports got canceled, any spring athlete got another year of eligibility, which meant that most teams were going to give their scholarships that would have been for my year to like their senior or like whoever was staying if they wanted it.
Really?
Yeah, it's kind of complicated, but basically like a bunch of schools ended up not having spots anymore because like they didn't have scholarships. So I actually like, and I was like very set on going to like a Power Five conference. Like that was my dream since I was like very little. So I just like started emailing every Power Five school. And I think I counted like 13 told me like either I wasn't good enough or like they didn't have enough spots.
Really?
I think like, yeah, I don't know how many didn't answer back, but it was a lot. But yeah, so it's just like a combination of like me not playing, COVID, the eligibility rule just like completely screwed me over. Obviously some of it I could have helped. Some of it was just, you know, COVID and stuff. So yeah, I didn't like, I wasn't talking to any schools. And then I wanted to get a full ride because, you know, free college.
Yeah.
But then like again, I didn't want to go to a, like, I had full ride offers from like smaller schools.
Yeah.
But in my head, I was like, I don't think I'd be really happy at these schools. I like, maybe I would have, but like my heart was so set on like going to a Power Five school. Yeah. Cause again, like I did this for 14 years. I don't want to settle just because of like, whatever. I like for a money issue, because, you know, money can be made back. If I have to do my whole life for it, maybe I regret it later. But right now I don't regret it. So yeah, it's just like this whole, like I wasn't talking to any schools. Mm-hmm. So I started just asking for walk-on spots, which is where like you're still on the team, you can still play, but you don't have a scholarship.
Really?
Yeah. You get like the same, like you still get all your clothes, you get everything people with full scholarships do. It's just you have to pay for your tuition.
Okay. Well, if the point was to get like tuition money, why go for that?
For a walk-on spot?
Yeah, why go for a walk-on spot?
It's just because, again, like I had done this for so long.
Oh, gosh. Gotcha.
Like I don't want to settle. And,
okay, I get that.
And like, yeah, it is really like, I don't know. I feel so bad for my parents. Like if they ever watch this, I'm sorry, because like they spent so much money on like tennis and just like everything. And then in hopes of like not having to pay for college, but then now they still have to pay for my college.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I just started asking schools about walk-on spots, and eventually someone said yes. And so that was Arizona. So that's where I'm going now. So yeah, it was about like a 2-year process. And it's very stressful.
Oh, I'm sure.
Very.
It's got to be especially stressful when, like, you've been playing this sport since you were very little, like, and like the goal in the end was to get a full ride to a college, and then just because of pure circumstance, it's like it's almost taken away from you completely.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I still am like I don't like to think about it a lot, just because it's like, wow, I really spent that much time to get like where I am, like with a full ride, and because of, or like half because of COVID, I didn't get that.
Yeah.
But you know, like again, I don't regret it, and I think I'll be fine. Like I'm literally going to like one of my, like Arizona was like in my top five. So
okay,
like,
so that's,
yeah, so
that's
like I'm
good.
Going to like one of my dream schools, so I'm not upset about it at all. But yeah, it was very stressful.
Yeah, sure. So what's your like relationship with like you playing tennis? Like, is it something that you're super duper passionate about, or is it just kind of something that you do like for the sake of getting into that college?
Yeah, so
is that something you can say if people, if your coaches are watching,
no,
and they're gonna be like,
I've
she doesn't
that,
actually
no.
like
I've said this in like a bunch of like post-match interviews and stuff.
Okay.
Or like everybody knows this.
Well, I don't.
Well, you're about
Sorry.
To know.
Okay.
So let's see. So tennis kind of like runs in my family. Not kind of. It does run in my family. Like my mom and her four sisters all play D1. Like my grandpa taught them. Then like me, my brother, and my oldest cousin play. So like we're like a pretty tennis-y family. And so I think like I played like 6 different sports or something like growing up.
Yeah.
But I think I always knew I was going to have to play tennis. One, just because it was the easiest, like most, not the most affordable, but like my mom's a tennis coach. So like it was easy to get courts and like she could always hit with me anytime. So yeah, I think I always knew I was going to play tennis. So I don't really know, like, again, since I've been doing it for so long and since I was kind of like just kind of told like this is what you're going to play, I don't know if I have like a natural passion for it.
That makes sense.
Like I do like playing it. Like I love the feeling of playing. I love the feeling of winning. I love when people are watching me. So like I do think I have a passion for it, but not like a naturally. Like, I have a natural passion for fashion.
Ooh, yeah.
That rhymed.
Oh.
But I don't think I have, like, a natural passion for tennis. But, yeah, so also because I've been doing it for so long, it's kind of just, like, another thing that I do. Like,
I
it's
get that.
It's kind of like school. Like, it's just something that I have to do. Or, like, oh, yeah, I have practice, so I can't. Like, it's not something I can move or, like, stop doing.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I'd say I do have a passion for it because, like, I do have a love for the sport. Like, there's a lot of I have so many benefits like from playing it.
Yeah.
And again, I like would not trade my life for any other life. Even though I talk so much shit about it, I always talk to Paris about it. Like, I'm like, I hate this, but whatever.
Yeah.
But you know, in the end, I think I definitely do have a passion for it. But
yeah, and like when you're like so involved with something, like you're not gonna like it 100% of the time.
Yeah.
Admittedly, with like the podcast and even like my YouTube channel that I'm working on, like. Even just before this one, I've just been like in my head, like, is this what I actually want to do?
Yeah.
Kind of going back to your idea of like, you know, putting all your effort behind one thing. Like, what if that's not what I actually want to do?
Yeah.
But like at the end, like whenever I'm like actually doing it, that's when I remember that, oh, yeah, this is what I enjoy. Mm-hmm. It's always like outside of it. That's when I get in my head about it.
Yeah. I think there's good, like, pros and cons to everything.
Yeah.
Like, even if you, like, I've talked to people who, like, love tennis. Like, I know people who love tennis. And mm-hmm. they still, like, say, oh, I don't like doing this part of it or this part of it. So I think, like,
yeah.
no matter what you do, there's always going to be parts that you don't like about it.
Yeah.
But, like, yeah. So maybe I do have a like natural passion for it. I don't know, but yeah. I think there's just a lot of goods and bads to everything, so it's hard to say.
Yeah, well, you do have to have some sort of passion for it to be doing it as long as you have been.
Yeah, yeah.
Let me ask you this: if you could choose any sport to like to be doing 24/7, would you still pick tennis or would you pick something else?
It's hard to say because I've never seen like. The more in-depth sides of other sports.
Yeah, makes sense.
So, like, my favorite sport is probably, like, volleyball. But, mm-hmm. you know, I'm sure there's parts of volleyball that I would, like, absolutely hate. So it's hard to say because I don't know, like, in-depth things about other sports.
Mm-hmm.
But from what I do know about other sports, I'd probably still stick with tennis.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, like, I don't know. There's a lot of reasons. Like, you get to travel, which I think you get to do with other sports. But, like, you get to – I kind of like being by myself, which, like, tennis is a solo sport. Just because – I mean, I love being on a team, but I also don't put a lot of trust into other people.
Oh, so, I totally get that.
Yeah, so I like to like if I want something done, I want to do it my way.
Yeah.
So like if I'm like in a match, like
mm-hmm.
I hate relying on other people
mm-hmm.
to like, you know, do things to get like what I want.
Yeah.
So that's I would probably still say tennis, but mm-hmm. if I, you know, maybe it'd be different if I knew other sports, but
yeah.
I don't. So
I get that. So going back to this idea of like not wanting to rely on other people for sports, would you, because I remember something for me with volleyball is like, you know, I did actually rely on the other people, but something that I really hated is the idea of other people relying on me to do the perfect plays.
Yeah.
Do you think that's something that applies to you too?
Yeah. Well, it applies to me in things that I'm not like super confident about.
Uh-huh.
Like if someone, like if we're in group projects,
yeah.
I don't really like when people rely on me, obviously, unless it's something I'm really comfortable with.
Mm-hmm.
But like if I was, I don't know, if I play, like if I'm playing doubles with somebody who
yeah.
like I know is better than me, I do not like playing with them at all because I hate that they're like relying on me. Cause I'm like,
uh-huh.
I don't know if I can do it as well as you. But like if I'm with someone that I know well and I know like won't be upset if I don't do well, like
yeah.
I don't really care about it. But yeah, so yeah, it goes both ways where I don't like relying on other people,
mm-hmm.
but I also don't like other people relying on me just in
yeah.
case like I do mess up. Which is why tennis is like good for me because I don't have to worry about either.
Yeah.
I just have to rely on myself, which uh-huh. also sometimes kind of sucks because
mm-hmm.
then like all the pressure is on you.
Yeah.
But I think I would much rather have like disappointing myself than other people because I just don't think I can handle that.
How frustrated do you get with yourself like anytime you mess up?
Like just in tennis?
Just like in tennis or I mean anything really, but I guess tennis specifically.
Tennis specifically, very bad. It's really bad. Uh-huh. Like at one point I was going to like a sports psychiatrist or psychologist. It'd be psychiatrist.
Psychiatrist, I think. I'm not sure.
It was a psychiatrist specifically for sports because it's bad.
Really?
It's still like, or it's definitely gotten better, but it's still pretty bad. And like, that's pretty common, like with most tennis players, just because it's such like a mental sport. But like with me and my brother, like maybe it's just something that's in our family, but we're like both really bad. Like we're yelling on the court.
Oh, really?
And, yeah. And like usually like you grow out of it. Mm-hmm. And again, it's gotten better, but sometimes I'll get mad and then I'm like, why did I just do that? Like that was so immature and I look so dumb, but like I can't help it.
Yeah.
But in general, it's probably the same. So.
Yeah. I know like anytime that like just with anything really, even whether it's like with volleyball, anytime like I was kind of ass at volleyball, not going to lie.
Wait, when did you play in middle school or high school?
I played freshman and sophomore year.
Oh, in high school?
Yeah.
I didn't go to any of the games, so I wouldn't have seen it. But
come on. You could have seen me mess up like every single spike. No, but I remember just being so like mad at myself. I think it kind of stems from this like thought that everyone else is disappointed in me too.
Yeah. Yes. Like getting mad in sports is like a different type of mad, at least for me, because it's like, it's so frustrating because like, you know, you can do better and you want other people to see that you can do better, but then you mess up and you're like, my God.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think mine also stems from like, I don't want people to be disappointed in me because I'm like, I know I can do better. So don't like watch me mess up because that's not actually me. But yeah, it's like, oh my God, getting mad in sports is like a different type of thing.
It is kind of important to remember that each of those moments that you do mess up in the grand scheme of things, it's such a minuscule and unimportant thing.
Yeah.
Can I admit something to you?
What?
Before this podcast, or before I asked you to come on the podcast, I was literally so nervous.
Why?
I was so scared. I was so scared. And it has nothing to do with you. You're a very nice person.
Thank you.
But I don't know. I just, in my head, I just go to like the worst case scenario. It wasn't like, the worst thing that could have happened is you say no, right?
Yeah.
That's the worst thing that could have happened. But in my head, I kind of took it a little further where it was like, it wasn't just no, like, you would be like, no, I like, my mindset was just like, what if she like says no because she hates me? And it's like this weird and unrealistic thought, but it's just like this weird mindset where like, I don't like not knowing other people's thoughts. And like, I also just don't deal well with rejection.
Oh, neither do I. Like when I, like with those college things, when those colleges told me no, like, oh my God. Like one, I'm not like a super like OCD perfectionist, but like I'm pretty, like I want things to be done super well.
Yeah.
And because like I don't want it to be like reject, I don't want anything to be rejected. And so like that was probably the like most I've ever been told no, like and rejected in my life. And I was just like, God damn. Like it was just so, I don't know if it was humbling, but it was definitely like 13 colleges telling me, no, we don't want you. I was like, So yeah, I don't do well with rejection either. But back to your, I forgot what we were talking about, but the worst case scenario thing. Yeah, I always have to remember, like, none of this is going to matter in like a month or like 2 years. Like, because the smallest inconveniences like always make me so upset when I'm like, in reality, like most of this stuff doesn't matter in a day.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just like, why do I get so upset or like care so much about these things when it's like so small?
Yeah.
But yeah, that is like one thing that's helped me a lot recently, just because I don't know. I just always have to remember like this stuff is not going to matter in like 2 years.
Yeah.
Which like the mindset is good and bad because It's good because it's made me a little more relaxed. Like, mm-hmm. I haven't been, like, as tense about things. But also, it's made me, like, too relaxed. Like,
yeah.
I failed calc this year.
Oh.
Because, like, every single time we had a test, I was like, oh, this won't matter in, like, a year. But, like, dude, I swear to God, I think my highest test score might have been, like, a 48. Like, I'm not really? Even kidding. It's so bad. But, yeah, that's, like, one of those things where I'm like, maybe I got too relaxed. But it's better than being stressed 24/7, I think.
I used to read a lot about stoicism. I wouldn't call myself a stoic, but like I did like back when like I was like super anxious about like literally just everything, being around other people or just like, you know, just the constant self-doubt. I turned to like reading, and one of the things that really helped me was reading about stoicism. And there's this one principle in it called Plato's view, and it's just this idea of, you know, removing yourself from your situation and just getting sort of like an airborne view of what's going on.
Yeah.
Like the book I read this in was called The Daily Stoic. It's by this guy, Holiday Ryan. Ryan Holiday? I don't remember. But he kind of described, he visually described it as like being an astronaut looking down on Earth. And like from there, you can't see all the wars. You can't see like all the distrust and every dilemma that everyone's going through. All you see is just the beauty of the earth and like the space around it. And it's just like, look at that, like nothing that's happening on the surface matters.
Yes.
And it's not ever going to matter in the grand scheme of things. Like we're just, you know, tiny little people on this tiny little planet that's hurling through space at thousands and thousands of miles per hour. And eventually it's all going to be gone.
Yeah, that's like, I think about that. Like, yeah, I've started looking at like things in a bigger picture just because, like, again, I hate being stressed and I've been stressed for like my whole life. So I'm like, okay, in like.
I totally just choked on my water. Hold on. Sorry.
Okay. Oh, wait a second.
Okay.
Oh my God, dude. I did that the other day and water started coming out of my nose. I was like, yo, this has not happened before.
I choked on a frosted flake the other day. I was having a bowl of cereal before work and I got to the bottom of it where it was mostly just like milk, but there was still like bits of frosted flakes at
the
bottom.
Like the soggy ones.
But like, I was like, all right, I'm going to finish off this milk. So I like drink from the bowl like you normally do. And then I didn't even notice, but like one frosted flake slid down my throat and I literally, it's probably the worst I've ever choked ever.
The worst is when like you're eating a chip and like it gets stuck there and it feels like it's just stabbing you, and I'm like, God, help me.
Yeah, I actually went to blow my nose later and a little bit of frosted flake came out.
That is so gross. It's so nasty. My God.
That's just like how far back.
Oh God, that is. So gross. What was I talking about?
I literally don't remember.
I don't remember. Wait.
We were talking about kind of getting a bigger picture view of everything.
So I started looking at things in like the bigger picture. Cause like in like 20 years, like if I'm married and have kids, I'm not gonna be like stressing over this math quiz or this tennis match then. Like, it does not matter. Then, like, if you take it further, like, literally nothing we do matters because we all just die. Like, that is, like, that's one of those, like, heavier questions. But, like, it's weird to think about because, like, even if you're, like, super famous, like, you just die. Even if, like, you have a huge legacy, like you still just die and you're probably going to be forgotten after a while. So it's weird, like no matter what you do in the end, it probably doesn't matter. Like I don't even know, even in like your own family, like I don't even think I know the names of like my great grandparents, and that's not even that far back. Like I have no idea anything about them. So it's just like, damn, we really do all this just for nothing, for like a little tombstone.
Yeah.
If we even have space for those later. I'll probably.
Yeah. Me, I've talked about that, I think, with Mike before. Just like how many, just like all the dead people that are in the earth. That's so.
Like, we're going to run out of room because I don't know. There is not enough room for all these dead people. Although, like, some people get cremated, which I feel like is environmentally conscious. But yeah. It's just, like, we do not have enough room for all these dead people.
My stance has always been, like, the most environmentally conscious thing that you can do with your dead body is to bury yourself with no casket.
Oh, yeah, because once you, like, decompose,
yeah,
you need a good fertilizer or something.
Yeah, and with the coffin, you're just kind of, your body just sits in this case, and it literally keeps your body from, like, maybe it does decompose, but all, like, yeah, the nutrients and all that just sits in that box instead of going into the earth.
Yeah. It's also, I feel like it'd be, like, financially conscious, too, because yeah. I've never bought a casket, but...
they get expensive.
I've seen on TV, or, like... I don't even know if this is true. I'm just, like, talking out of my ass. But, like, in TV shows, they're always like, oh, my God, this is $4,000. Like, you're going to spend $4,000 on something that just goes in the ground?
Yeah, that's literally my mindset, too.
Like, you see it for about, like, an hour. Like, with all due respect to anyone who got a casket, but damn, like, $4,000 for something that, like, the person who's in it doesn't even know about it. Well, maybe they do, but... I don't know. Yeah, that doesn't seem...
That's literally what I've said on the podcast before. What do you want to do with your body?
You know what? I haven't decided.
Oh, really?
But I think I would want my family to save their money, and I don't think I'd want a tombstone or a casket. Wait, is it casket or coffin? I keep saying casket, or is it both?
I think it's interchangeable. I have no clue.
Okay, well... Okay, so yeah, I don't think I'd want a tombstone with like a coffin because, one, I don't know where I'd want to be buried. And also, that's just a lot of money.
Yeah.
And like, if I'm going to be honest, the family members that I do know that have like tombstones, I don't think I've visited them more than like 5 times really? My whole life. Yeah, so.
I don't blame you.
Yeah, so I think I'd either want to get like cremated and like put in a vase. Or like one thing that I think is like a good idea is like when people get cremated and like you go, like the close friends and family go and like spread the ashes around like one of their like favorite spots. I feel like that'd be a good memorial.
Yeah.
Or like maybe donate my body for science or something.
Yeah, that's actually another pretty good one.
Yeah. If they like, I mean, I don't know what they would do with it, but that would be kind of cool. But I don't really know. I haven't really thought about it. It's weird thinking that I'm going to be dead.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess I would never, I don't know. I guess I wouldn't know if I'm dead. Maybe I will. I don't really know how the afterlife stuff is.
Yeah, we don't know what happens after. What do you think happens afterwards?
That's a loaded question.
It is. You want to hear my response first?
Yeah, go ahead.
I think it's just nothing. I think it's just darkness.
Yeah, so that is what I've thought in my head, and that's what I hope it's not. Because that the idea of like nothing and darkness like really freaks me out.
Yeah,
like,
I get that.
Even if I, well, okay, do you think it's like nothing? Like, do you think when you die, you're just like, that's it? Like, your consciousness gone?
Just out the window. It completely gone. Not even really like darkness. You just like cease to exist.
Oh, so like when you're dead, like that's it. Like, yeah, there's no afterlife.
Like, it's not like you're stuck in this like eternal darkness forever.
Yeah. So that's what I would be worried about. Like,
yeah,
is being stuck in nothing forever. But yeah. If you're just like dead and there's nothing, I could get behind that.
Yeah.
But like if I would be if I was, I don't know what you'd call it, a spirit or something in darkness, I don't think I'd deal with that. I don't really know though. Again, like there's like the logic side of me and then like the, I don't know what you call it, inquisitive side. I don't really know. But like just because I feel I haven't had any like supernatural, I guess, experiences, but like when my mom's dad passed, there was like a whole bunch of weird things going on with her and her sisters that like basically they thought it was like my grandpa doing them. Like it was a bunch of like one of them was like someone recorded the Bulls game on the TV, but like no one watches the Bulls except him. And it was like a couple days after he passed. So we were all just like, that's weird. And like I forgot what the other thing was, but it's just like stuff like that that makes me think maybe there's like something else. But also, I saw a, what do you call them? Mediums or like psychics?
Yeah, like people a that, psychic medium or.
Yeah, so I actually saw one back in like January. And it was crazy because, like, again, I, you know, I've never met one, so I didn't know what to expect. But she was saying all this stuff that I was like, how do you know this?
Was it like, was it very specific or was it like kind of general, like, oh, you're going to have a good day tomorrow?
Well, no, no, it was like some of them was really specific. Like, okay, so for example, she was just like, it was like over a Zoom call too, which made it even weirder. Yeah, I was like, how are you picking this stuff up? Uh-huh. But one of them was like, she was like, I'm seeing like a really big like jewel in my head. She was like, did you get a gift recently? Or like, did you give someone a gift, like an important like piece of jewelry? And I was like, this was weird because only me and the person I gave it to knew about the thing. Mm-hmm. Like, so I had given someone a necklace, but only I knew about it and only he knew about it. And she was like, so did you like give someone something? I was like, yeah, I gave them a necklace. And she was like, oh, well, like your grandparents are telling me he's wearing it right. Or because both my grandpas passed. And she was like, your grandpas are telling me like he's wearing it right now. And I was like, that's weird because I and I like wasn't talking to this person at the time. And so then I texted that person after I met with her. And I was like, hey, are you wearing the necklace I gave you? And he was like, yeah, why? And I was like, that's weird. That was weird. So, yeah, I kind of went on a tangent. But, yeah, I don't know. I don't, again, I don't think about it a lot just because it's one of those things that, like, it can't be proven. So I'm just, like, stuck wondering.
Look, I honestly don't have an explanation for what you just told me, but I'm still, like, I'm still determined to call it bullshit. I can't.
No, no, it's completely understandable.
Like, the, like, even though that was, did seem like a, like, a very specific thing, like, you know, like, how many people regularly give necklaces or any sort of jewelry as a gift, it still seemed like, it still seemed like she was leading in with like a general question that you could answer. But, you know, maybe she's real. Maybe she's real. Maybe I just don't know shit.
My, like, no, I completely get that. Like, when I, after I had my like meeting with her, I was like, wow, this is weird, but like no one would ever believe it. Mm-hmm. So my thing when I tell people, I'm just like, you should just try it yourself. Like, even if you don't, like my dad didn't believe shit about it. And then he did it and he was like, yeah, that was really cool. So like the only thing I can say is just like try it if you want to. Mm-hmm. Cause it is pretty cool, I think. But yeah, no, I still get it because I still am too like I don't really know what I think. So it's it's just one of those things that I'm just like, yeah, that's a problem for another time.
Yeah. Well, I kind of look at it like magic tricks. Like we have these great magicians like Chris Angel or David Blaine, and they do the craziest shit. Like, have you seen the trick where Chris Angel literally puts a coin in his arm?
Oh, yeah. Well, like, I haven't seen that, but I've just seen some like David Blaine stuff. Like, yeah, it. I don't remember what it was, but it's stuff just like, how do you do that? Because that's weird and not real.
Or there was another trick that David Blaine did where he it looked like he literally took at the like his one of, he was doing it to just like a small group of people, and he went up and it looked like he took the teeth out of one of the girls that he was doing the trick for. So, and he was holding her teeth and it looked like she had like a gap in her mouth, and then he puts it back, and it's like, all magic has to have some sort of explanation. That's like, that's like my mindset. Like, there has to be something to that. I don't know what it would be. Like, that's crazy shit. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, like these magicians, they also wear like short sleeves, and you know, they do just grab random. What if they aren't random people?
That's what I think sometimes. I'm just like, they say they're random, but like some of this stuff is so like outrageous. I'm like,
it doesn't have to be random.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Did we just figure out David Blaine?
I don't know. That's what, like, I would have to, the only way I would know for sure is if I was with a group of people and, like, had him, like, met him in person, and, like, everyone that I know, like I know that they weren't a part of it. But I'm never going to get that chance, so.
Yeah. There's a part of me that kind of wants to become a devout magician just to figure out all the different tricks.
Like that, like oddly suits you. Like I could see.
Really? Yeah. I've gotten a lot of things. Like people, the most common one is of course is like surfer or skateboarder. But,
really?
Yeah.
I could see you doing that on the side, but yeah, like a magician, I can like for some reason like see that a lot. Like this one's really random, but I feel like you could be a zookeeper. Like, I don't know why.
I'm going to be Kevin James.
But yeah, I don't know if it's like.
You're going to learn to talk to the animals.
You just like give up. I feel like you would just like connect well with the animals. I don't know.
I do think animals are really cool, but I don't think I'd want to like hang out with tigers and lions.
Yeah. And also, I don't think, maybe this is like the materialistic part of me, but I don't think it pays well. So I
would
not hit that.
No.
Dude, we keep going off on tangents.
I know.
What are we talking about?
Well, this all started with us talking about, like, what happens in the afterlife.
Oh, yeah.
And then we went to psychic mediums, and then we went to magic and zookeeping.
Magicians. It was something about magicians that I was going to say. I was just going to say, like, now that you brought up the point about, like, magicians, how, like, you know it's, like, not real, but it seems so real. Like, that is making me think about the medium thing now. Because that's a really good... Like, I've never thought about it that way. And that's a really good point. So now I have to think on that again.
Well, like, if you're like, up close and personal and watching this thing, like, happen before your eyes, it's super easy to convince you. The thing is that our senses aren't always perfect. And there's people who are really good at, like, maneuvering around them.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like with horror movies, like I don't believe in any sort of like ghosts or supernatural shit like that. But if you get me watching like a good horror movie, like afterwards I'll be like if it's dark
like
around, I'm like something's up. What's gonna happen? Something's gonna come after me.
Yeah, no, I'm not a horror movie person.
Really, I've always thought you were.
You know, I feel like people. Would get that vibe for me? I don't know.
Well,
but
the thing is, a lot of girls are into horror movies and stuff like that.
Well, I'm more of like a true crime person.
Literally. Okay. I get it.
But yeah, like Paris and Isaac, they love horror movies and they always try and get us to watch it. But I'm just like not a fan. Like I know it's fake, but there's just like, I don't like the feeling after where I'm like laying in bed by myself and then like the slightest thing I hear, I'm like, what is that? Like, that's not right. So, yeah, I'm not, like, a huge horror movie person. I do think they're super interesting.
Yeah.
Though, like, if so I don't like watching the movies, but I like reading about them. So, like, I'll go look up the movie on Wikipedia and then look up the plot and just read the whole thing. Yeah, instead of watching it. Because reading it for me is so much easier.
It goes quicker. Like, if it's a movie that you don't necessarily want to watch but are, like, kind of interested in, like, that's a quick way to
get a sense of it. Because, one, my attention span is super short. Like, I can hardly get through movies in general.
Oh, yeah.
Even, like, long TV shows. Like, I started watching anime, so I'm, like, so used to, the 20-minute episodes.
Uh-huh.
And so the other day I tried watching, like, a 40-minute one, and I was like, no, I cannot sit through this. But, yeah, like, dude, I keep going off.
We love it.
I was talking about, reading it. It just makes it so much easier because I hate slow parts in movies because I'm just like, get on with it. But also like I don't know what you'd call it, not OCD, but like the other part of me where I'm like, oh my God, I have to watch every second. Otherwise I'm going to miss something. So it's very conflicting, but
yeah, I get that.
But if you read it, like you don't have to worry about any of it. And my attention span lasts through the whole thing. So, and I don't have to see all the bad parts that I don't like to see.
Yeah.
I recommend reading about movies.
Instead of watching them.
Yes.
What have you been watching lately?
Literally only anime.
Really? So like what?
Okay. Well, so I started back in like February or something. I started with Demon Slayer. That is still my favorite one.
Really? I just watched that one.
And really?
That,
yeah. Did you watch the movie?
Yeah, I did. Oh, I streamed on like one of those like anime streaming sites.
Yeah. So yeah, that one's definitely my favorite.
That one is good.
Of course, I had to watch Death Note because it's like a classic. Yeah, so I watched that one.
That's a good one to like kind of start with.
Yeah, it was kind of slow though at the end.
Yeah,
like the last 10 episodes, I was like, that. Did you really need to put these in?
Well, the thing is that a lot of people actually like to stop at, what is it, like episode 25 when he does, spoiler alert to anyone listening and trying to watch Death Note, but when he does like achieve his goal of finally killing off L,
yeah,
and then like ruling the world with like his own idea of justice.
Yeah. Oh, that's when people usually stop.
That's when a lot of people stop. Yeah.
Okay. That's when I thought it was going to end, because when that stopped, I was like, what more can you do with this? Anyways, so yeah, I watched Death Note, and then I was watching, okay, I'm watching like three at the same time right now.
Yeah.
I watched The Silent Voice, the movie. I also watched Ponyo.
All of those movies. They're some of my favorite movies.
Yeah.
I want to get a. Have you seen Princess Mononoke? Oh, that's a really good one. And
is
it's
it
like
on Netflix.
No, okay. I don't think like any of them are on Netflix.
Yeah, they don't have a huge selection, but it's good for me because I've just started. So
yeah,
it's easy to like. Do a bunch of, sorry. Anyways.
No, you're good. You're good. But I was going to say, I kind of want like a Princess Mononoke tattoo, because like she wears this like really cool mask, this like tribal mask that I think is really cool. And she hangs Princess Mononoke.
Yeah.
That character, she wears this mask. And then she also hangs out with wolves. And I think it would be so badass to have like a wolf tattoo.
You know, I think someone mentioned that one about me. Or that one to me, because the wolf thing sounded really familiar. But yeah. I've actually seen a lot of people like talking about anime tattoos, like either getting like the panels, like manga panels on them, or like what was the other one?
Mm-hmm.
Have you watched Jujutsu Kaisen?
Yeah, I have.
Like the Sukuna bands or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've seen a lot of anime tattoos recently, but. What are the other ones I'm watching? Oh, I'm watching Food Wars on anime.
Food Wars? I've never even like touched that one.
It's okay. There's like really sexual references.
Yeah,
in
I've heard that about
for
it.
For no reason. I'm like, do you want? But
well, that's
anyways.
Like the culture of Japan. They just have such a different view of sexuality.
I
like,
know.
They're so like kind of blunt with it.
Yeah, which I think is like funny, but also like the feminist part of me is like, that's wrong. Like, that shouldn't be happening. But it's also just like so funny because it's just like boobs for no reason.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, do you have to? God, what are the other ones I'm watching? What's the volleyball one called?
Haikyuu.
Okay, I'm watching. I started that one.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't watched it in a while.
Yeah, I've started that one too, but I never ended up finishing it.
Yeah, the first, I think I'm on like episode 3 or something, and it wasn't that interesting to me.
Yeah.
But everyone's telling me it's pretty good.
Yeah, it gets like glowing reviews, and like it is like, in all fairness, it is a good anime.
Yeah.
But it's just like, it's not something that I can get really deep in.
Yeah. What's the last? Oh, and then I'm watching Jujutsu Kaisen right now. I feel like there's one more. I feel like I finished a quick one. I don't remember, but oh yeah, I think just like starting with Demon Slayer, like all the other ones have like yet to compare to that one.
Yeah.
So I like started like too good. Jujutsu Kaisen is pretty good, but yeah.
The fight scenes in Jujutsu Kaisen are particularly great.
Yes.
Like
yeah.
Just like especially in like one of the last fights that they did, there was this one scene where like the animation lined up to the music, and I'm just like, oh, that's the most like aesthetic thing ever.
Yeah. Oh, did I say Seven Deadly Sins?
No.
Oh, that's the one I'm watching right now.
I hate that one.
So the first season I thought was really good.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Second season, that was just filler. Like the whole thing was just filler. I was like,
yeah.
It was only like 4 episodes, but and the beginning of the third season was really good. Oh, wait, I don't know if I'm on. Oh, wait, shit. I'm on season 4.
Okay.
I thought season 3 was pretty good. Beginning of season 4 was good. But right now it is so. Like, I honestly don't. I have like 5 episodes left, but I don't even know if I'm going to finish it because it's so slow right now.
Yeah. The first season was pretty strong, but after that, it just kind of drags on.
Yeah. That's what I'm thinking right now, because the people who have watched it that I know think it's like super good. But right now I'm just like, it is hard for me to watch it right now. Cause I'm just like, it's dragging on for so long.
Yeah.
God, there was something like 5 minutes ago I was going to talk about. Talking about anime.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I was going to talk about the other things I was watching. Well, I guess I'm not really watching anything else, but okay, gotcha. Yeah, I was usually into just like the normal like dramas and like kind of like, you know, whatever shows.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, now I'm on my anime grind. Yeah. So
if you want a really good anime to watch, my favorite one of all time is Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood.
I have seen that one on Netflix. I think my brother watched it and he said it was pretty good. But
It's a lengthy one. It's 50 some episodes. So
that's not. Wait, in how many seasons?
I think it's split into like 4 or 5 parts.
Oh, that's not awful.
It's not terrible. You can grind that one out. It's not like Naruto where it's like 300 episodes and then they have the next series that's also 500 episodes. Yeah. So like Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood, it's just like one of the most beautifully crafted stories, and just like the plot line flows so nicely. It does admittedly get slow at times, but there are so many moments in that anime that are just like, what the fuck? Yeah. I don't want to like spoil anything for you, but it gets like it gets really dark at moments, but there's also just like because the whole series focuses on two brothers, and there's just like a certain charm to that.
Yeah, I will definitely watch that one.
Yeah, check it out. Let me know. Just don't get it mixed up with the... Because there's two series. There's Full Metal Alchemist, which was made in like the early 2000s. And that was...
Okay.
But then there's also Brotherhood, which more closely follows the manga.
Are they like based on the same thing though?
Yeah, the thing is with the first series is that it was being made while the manga was still being written and coming out.
So
by the time that they were getting to like midway through the story, they didn't have any more, they didn't have any material to base the story on. So they just did their own thing.
Nice.
There
was something I was going to say. Okay, wait, we're talking about the Full Metal Alchemist. Oh my God. I don't know what. Okay. I don't remember what I was. Oh yeah. I feel like one thing people will like anime people like hate on me for is like, I do not think I will ever watch like Naruto or One Piece just because they are so long.
It's too long.
Yes, and frankly, it is too long.
Frankly, Naruto, I've never seen One Piece, so I can't speak on that one. Mm-hmm. But Naruto, as much as I want to love it, I can't.
Yeah.
It's just too long. The writing is kind of shitty. It drags on. There's so many filler episodes.
Yeah.
It's just like, it's such... I grew up with it, so I want to love it, but I just can't.
Yeah, like my attention span, not super long. So the shorter ones are like perfect for me. Like the shorter, shorter seasons, like all of them. That's like, those are good for me because also I like finishing them. And so I feel like with Naruto, like it'd take me like forever to finish it. Uh-huh. And again, like I hate fillers. I hate the like when it drags on. Because again, like I feel like I have to watch it, but then like I watch the full episode and I'm like, I didn't need to see any of that.
Yeah.
So yeah, I feel like people would hate on me for that, but I don't think I'm ever going to watch that. Like, maybe if I'm, like, bored out of my mind for... How long would that even take you to finish?
It's literally... Okay, so Naruto, like, the first series is, like... It's, like, 250 episodes, close to 300. We'll round down and say it's 200.
Okay.
And then Naruto Shippuden, like, the continuation of it. That one I would say is actually better than the first series, but it's still, like, it's still got, like, some things that I nitpick about.
Yeah.
That one, I think, is, like, literally 500 episodes.
Yeah,
and
do that.
the thing is that you can go on, you can go online and look up, like, lists of all the filler episodes, and that's what I did with Naruto.
That's kind of nice.
Yeah, with Naruto, I just looked up all the filler episodes, skipped over that one, those episodes, and then it was just a show that I kind of had playing on in the background.
Yeah,
like while I was doing other stuff.
That's what one thing I I wish I knew Japanese, just because like I always watch TV while I'm like doing other stuff, but like with anime, like I don't like to watch the dub like versions.
The dubs are almost always ass.
They are so bad. Like I listened to like a second of Demon Slayer in it. I was like, this is bad.
You can't.
Because like I feel like the voices and like all the like sound effects that they make are such like a big part of like how you see the characters, and like just the dub is just so bad.
Yeah.
So like that's one bad thing. I can never like watch it in the background because I have to look at the subtitles.
That's one good thing that I will say about Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood is that the dub of it is actually really, really good.
Okay.
In fact, I would say that if you're gonna watch either version of it, I would go for the dub, honestly.
Really?
Yeah. It's like it's like every anime has the same voice actors, right? But
yeah.
For whatever reason, this one is just kind of better.
Okay.
Like, they do a really good job on that. I don't know. If you don't like the dub, then you can switch it to Japanese, whatever. But
yeah.
I do think that the dub is actually really good.
Yeah. I'll definitely try that just because it would be easier to, like, fold laundry and be able to watch my anime.
Yeah.
Like, I can't, like, I'll have to, like, even eating sometimes. Like, I'll look down to eat. And then, like, I look back up and I'm like, I don't know what just happened in the past 5 seconds. So I got to rewind it and then I have to watch it again.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, like, too much. I'm like, I just need to learn Japanese at this point. But
have you seen Neon Genesis Evangelion?
I've also seen it on Netflix, but I have not. I think I saw it on Netflix, but I have not watched that one.
Okay. Don't watch the Netflix version.
Okay.
I think every purist is going to tell you that. The Netflix version, the thing with that one is that they redid all the voice acting with new actors, and it's not necessarily bad. It's just like different. And the way they've changed the pronouncing, like how they pronounce certain things. All right, and like they change some of the like wording of certain scenes, and it's just like it's not a huge deal, but the original I would say is like better. And another thing is that the song "Fly Me to the Moon" by Frank Sinatra is deeply ingrained in the original series. It plays at the end of every episode, and then there are moments where in the middle of episodes it'll play. But the thing is that I don't think Netflix has the rights to that song, so they had to replace it with like generic piano music, and it's
just not the same.
It's just not the same. Every time that, you know, "Fly Me to the Moon" would come up at the end, it would just like hit me in a certain place. And it's like, this is nice.
Yeah.
This is nice. I will say the characters in that show aren't the most likable, but like for whatever reason, there's just like a certain charm to it that I appreciate very deeply. And it was like a big innovative anime for like anime in general. Like every mecha anime that came after that is basically owes everything to Neon Genesis.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to get back to a point about that later, but I just thought of something. One thing that was really bad, like god awful, was the live action Death Note.
Oh
my god.
Yeah, don't even touch the live action things.
Oh my god. Dude, the fact that they didn't even use like Asian actors and actresses, I was like, how are you going to take one of the most popular animes like ever and like make it a live action and then one, not even follow the plot, and two, use like white actors and actresses? I was like Asian, actors, like, they hardly get any representation, like,
you're right.
Anyways, like, obviously outside of, like, K-drama or, like, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, so you're gonna take, like, one thing that's, like, literally from Japan and not even cast, like, Japanese or Asian actors? That, like, I watched that before. I watched the live action before I watched the actual anime.
No.
And, like, dude, I hate myself because before I thought that was good. I thought the live action was good.
What?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I know.
Get off this podcast.
Seriously. Because and then I watched the actual one, like the anime, and I was like, I cannot believe I thought the live action was good. And it just made me so mad that they didn't cast Asian actors, because I was like, is it really that hard?
It's such a blatant opportunity if I remember correctly, Ellen that was black. Which is like, you know, like a good thing that they got some sort of representation.
Yeah.
But it's like, you know, it seems like Asians kind of get left out of the picture.
Yeah, like I feel like I guess I don't really know who I'd be talking to. I'll just say like Hollywood, but I feel like Hollywood was getting like slack for not putting any Asian actors. So they threw out like Crazy Rich Asians and then like To All the Boys I Love, like where they put Asians out there. But then honestly, I feel like since then I haven't really seen a lot, but maybe I just haven't watched a lot of movies. But yeah, it was like such an open opportunity to finally give like maybe give some like Asian actors like a breakthrough and like just have some representation, because like they hardly get a lot of I don't really know, I guess like attention or just again like opportunities for something like this. And we're something, it's like just so obvious. Like, how do you miss this? Maybe I could just be like talking out of my ass, because obviously I'm not in like the entertainment industry. So maybe something else like was going on, but I just don't understand that at all.
I don't get it either. You really don't see like Asians and like other races on screen together. You have movies like Crazy Rich Asians or To All the Boys I Loved or whatever that movie is. I guess that second one they did have like it was just like an Asian lead, and then you had like you did have other races. So I guess that one kind of defeats my point. But it seems like you really don't see much many roles for Asians with other races, I guess.
And I feel like if you do see like Asians or just like, I guess, minorities in general, like in a movie, I feel like they're always supposed to be like the supporting character.
Yeah.
Like they're never really the main. I'm not like a huge movie person. But I feel like that's kind of just what I pick up.
Something that happens a lot is like there will be an Asian character, but it gets made the comic relief character.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I feel like the minorities are always like the best friend, comedic, there to be funny. And which I guess is fine, but I feel like more people should be getting the lead.
There's just so much more that Asians have a ton to offer in like the gang. I follow this artist named David Cho, and he's Korean, and he made this good point in like a sort of a comedy bit that he was doing, that Jackie Chan, like, he's never the hunk that, you know, gets to have sex with the girl in the end.
Yeah.
He's all like, even though he does like these hardcore movies, like, what is it? Like Super Cop or like, I've seen a lot of them. I can't remember the names of them, but the thing is like, he does a bunch of movies, and like, even if he does get the girl in the end, it's not like implied that, you know, like, that he's just like this hunk that this lady wants. It's just like, they're together or something.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, meanwhile, I could go on about that.
Yeah. Meanwhile, like every white actor gets mad pussy in every movie.
It's like, damn, come on, give us some. Okay. What was the point that I was going to say? I'll get back to that.
Something about Neon Genesis Evangelion?
Yeah, it was like, something in that conversation.
I said the characters weren't terribly likable.
Oh, yes, that's what I was going to talk about. This isn't really about that anime, but just this just like popped into my head as you were talking about it. But I feel like characters, like when I like when shows kind of make the character, like the main character, like not likable.
Yeah.
Because I feel like if they are likable, it's like way too predictable. Mm-hmm. And also, I feel like it's a good like morals test, because it's like, oh, they're the main character, you're supposed to like them, but then they'll do something. Like, have you seen You, like the show?
No, I haven't. Okay, lot of people talk to me about it, but
yeah,
never
that show, the main character, he like sucks.
Yeah.
But it's just like you're seeing everything from his perspective, so it's just like a morals check where it's like you want to agree with it, but like you shouldn't, and like. It's just like, I want to like this person so bad, but like, they're doing shitty things.
Yeah, I agree. I like a lot. I like shows that have a lot of like gray area. There's not like it's not like it's this binary, you know, what this thing's good, this thing's bad. This character is completely character is like the perfect person, or this person is like completely evil. I like a lot of gray area. And that was something great about Death Note, is that like both sides, like they both had good points. Like what was his name? Light, like his whole idea of like just killing off anyone who commits crime, like morally, like there's like that's wrong, like killing people. But like in the like after episode 25, when he does achieve his goal where he can have control over like the entire justice system and he can just kill criminals however he wants, like it does, like they do explain that that works out, like crime drops significantly. The thing is that's such a morally ambiguous area. You don't know whether to agree with him or not.
Yeah.
But because he's the main character, you still want him to succeed.
Yeah. That was probably like the most perfect example. Just because like the person I was watching Death Note with, like I told him like it probably switched every episode. I was like, I really like Light now. Well, no, I really like L now. Like it switched back and forth. But it was like good because it kept it interesting.
Yeah.
Because it's where it's like, some choices, you're like, that is exactly what I would do. But then other ones, it's like, why do you have to do that?
Yeah.
I was starting to like you. That's why I think, at least right now, I've like started to enjoy animes more than like just the normal drama shows. Because
I get that.
I don't know. Some like, I was like more. You know, I just watch like the typical shows like that I feel like every teenager watches, but they were all like very predictable, I think, where it's like it's good, but like you probably know what's going to happen.
Yeah,
in the end.
You kind of see what they're doing here. You see how they hype up one thing or like.
Yeah,
just like.
So that's why I've kind of like, at least the animes I've watched, I'm like, okay, this is kind of like, because it's like unpredictable and like, I don't know. It's a pretty good balance, I think.
Yeah. Well, Belen, this is my longest podcast yet.
I was going to say, I was like, we would like hardly stop.
Yeah, no, we're at an hour 20 now.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
You want to wrap this up? Or?
I mean, sure. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Do you have anything else to say? Anything to plug?
Do I have anything to plug? I don't think so.
No.
Actually, you know what Chris told me? I told Chris I was coming on here. Uh-huh. He told me to plug our workplace, RCC, Rockford Country Club.
Hey.
Come take lessons at Rockford Country Club. Actually,
Rockford Country Club.
Don't actually do that.
Oh, that's another thing that I want to ask you about. Okay, before we wrap this up, forget all that happened. So like you do tennis tutoring for kids, right? What was I going to ask about that? Oh yeah, is that like how is that? Is that like a because this idea of like passing on your knowledge, I think that's like a really cool idea. Do you think that do you feel like that's like one of the more positive benefits of your like tennis career, I guess?
So I kind of knew I never really wanted to go into teaching like when I got older. But it's a good side job, obviously, because like I know a lot about it. But honestly, it like really depends on who you're teaching, because
I get that.
Like low-key, well, no, I'm not working there next year. The kids at RCC, I can't stand them. Like,
really?
Like, maybe I shouldn't say this. No, okay, whatever. They're never
You're not working there.
true. But it's just like some of them, it's just like you can tell they're only there because either like their parents are making them or like their parents just want me to like babysit them or something. So like that stuff, it makes teaching really hard. And it's like, why am I doing this? Well, only for the money. But but then there's like the kids who you can tell like actually want to learn, and like once you get to know them, like there's some kids I like love being around now, and like they're just so cute, and like you can tell they actually want to like put effort into it. So like with those kids, it feels really nice, where it's like, okay, I'm giving you something and like you're actually learning from it. But then it's like with the other kids, it's just like it's literally just babysitting for an hour and a half, and it's like whatever, like I could care less if you listen to me or not. So it just depends on who you're teaching.
There's like the certain beauty of when you're doing something and it's not just a job, but it's also like a real service that you are like providing to for someone and like passing on knowledge to them that they'll use.
That's like, I think in moments like that, I feel like I'm like, okay, this is where I'm like my passion comes in.
Yeah.
But with the other kids, like,
fuck them. Well, that's a beautiful note to end it on.
I was going to say that was good.
That was pretty good. Well, Belen, thank you so much for coming on. This was a really good podcast. I really enjoyed this.
Yeah, I had a good time.
Yeah, so thank you so much for being on. And thank you for listening. Bye, everybody.
Thanks, guys.